Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren, and to you on the other side of the camera, welcome in as well on this Sunday morning for the sermon titled, Just Wait a Minute. Our scripture lesson today comes from Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11. And while you're looking that up, I have taken notice here as of late that it must be time to go fishing again. As a matter of fact, we've got three fresh trout in the freezer waiting to go. And I'm thinking about how at a certain city way down south many years ago, during a little bit of a drought, people couldn't catch fish. And one fella seemed to walk back from the river every night with a bucket full of fish. And he walked along. The sheriff took notice of this and said not only does he have a license, but he's catching an awful lot of fish. And I want to know how. So the next morning as he was walking down to the river, the sheriff called up to him and said, I want to go fishing with you today, John. John said, all right, come on along. And they went down, they got in a boat, and they shoved off from shore, and they got out pretty good ways into the river. And the sheriff looked around for a minute and said, John, you don't have no fishing poles here. And how do you figure to fish? John didn't say nothing. He just reached in underneath the seat and pulled out a stick of dynamite and lit it. And while the sheriff was talking, threw it into the river. The dynamite lit off, and about that time, all the fish floated up to the water, and John just kind of took his net and gathered them up and put them in the bucket. Well, the sheriff lost touch with reality and began to carry on. You have lost your mind. You can't do that. And began to rail against him. What he didn't notice was John reached down in that box, pulled out another stick of dynamite, lit it off, and handed it to the sheriff. The sheriff said, what am I supposed to do with this? And John said, well, I reckon you got two choices. You can keep talking or shut up and fish. Just wait a minute. Psalms 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you will look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit their land and enjoy great peace. May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him out in prayer. Would you please pray with me? Father, we ask that you be with us now. We ask that you quiet our hearts and our minds to hear your words, not mine. They come from you, Father, that we may be strengthened, that we may be able and be prepared to walk this week in the face of everything that rails against us. That we may know your way a little clearer. Talk more openly and be that light that shows the way to your Son, to salvation, to eternity. Bless us as we hear these words, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. Amen. The patent read, quote, to demonstrate the economic ill effects of land monopolism and the use of land value tax as a remedy for it. The goal is to teach wealth. Close quote. That was what the patent read when Lizzie applied for it. She had it in her mind that in order to make women equal, in order to gain equality for the masses, in order to raise the poor up, she needed to patent her way, her economic thoughts. And in fact, in 1902, she received a patent. She was born in Macomb, Illinois in 1866 to Mary Jane and James Maggie, who was a newspaper publisher and an abolitionist. She was lucky enough to accompany Abraham Lincoln as he traveled around Illinois in the late 1850s debating Stephen Douglas. After moving to the D.C. area, Lizzie found work as a stenographer and typist at the Dead Letter Office. She was also a poetry writer and wrote short stories and comedy. And she was a stage actress and a feminist and an engineer. And at age 26, she received a patent for her invention that made the typewriting process easier by allowing paper to go through the rollers more easily. At the time, women were credited with less than 1% of all the patents, and she worked for a news reporter at a brief time in the 1900s, and in 1910, at age 44, she got married to Albert Wallace Phillips, even though they had no children. To demonstrate the economic ill effects of land monopolism and to teach the use of land value tax, she decided the best way for her to figure out to teach economics to those who did not necessarily have the greatest education at that time was to turn it into a game. And so she did. And it was not a game in the way that you would think that we would know a game. It was a game that was structured and difficult and broke down various creditations, and she set things forth in her way that would try to teach people economics. Her game was not well received. But people saw the idea of it. She put the game out there in hopes that it would take off and teach and become a tool that would be used, and yet it didn't. But she never gave up hoping. She showed her game first time among her friends when she was living in, of all places, Brentwood, Maryland. After she applied for the patent office, she was granted patent 700,048,626, finally on 1904. She received her patent before women were allowed to vote. She believed her diligence and patience over time would show her belief in education and foster the rights of women at a time when it didn't happen. And yet she didn't give up hope. It was used by college professors now, and the game became known as, quote, the fascinating game of finance. Now, who in the world wouldn't want to play that game? Hey, you want to come on over tonight? We're going to have chips and salsa and pork rind and root beer and ice cream, and we're going to play the fascinating game of finance. Hello? 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 It was actually published in the Midwest, finally, in 1932, 30 years after the patent. They began to change it. It traveled back and forth, and eventually it found its way back to the East and became a favorite game of all people, the Quakers. You remember the Quakers, don't you? I talked about them one time, going to study with them, went to a church service where they didn't talk. Imagine how much fun I had. But they played this game. And sometime in 1932, a man was taught to play it, named Charles Dodd, and he began to customize the game so he could teach it to his children and make it interesting. And that's where, in 1934, Charles Darrow came into the picture. And he took Charles Todd's idea, and he turned it into a cardboard cutout, and he sold copies to Wanamaker's department stores in Philadelphia. And later that year, him and Milton Bradley, can you hear where we're headed? Sat down and discussed the game Monopoly. He took the money he had and invested it into smaller sets and sold it in black cardboard boxes and sold it separately from the sets. He sold the game pieces so he could make money. Here's the game, here's the pieces. Can't have one without the other, but you got to buy them separately. And after he started to take orders, Milton Bradley took notice of it. And then Parker Brothers came in and bought the rights to the game. And of course, we know what happened next. Monopoly sold 20,000 sets, complete sets, in its first year and made Charles Darrow the first ever millionaire game designer in all of history. Pretty cool, huh? Now, the truth be told, Charles was the inventor of Monopoly, but he was not the inventor of the idea. The idea took many different people doing many different things to culminate into one. And in 1934, Lizzie's idea was finally realized, even though when she passed away, she was not credited with it until by accident, sometime in 2003, examining the oldest original known set of Monopoly, they began to discover it had its roots in the game, the landlord's game, created by Lizzie Maggin. And finally, it grew out. She had to have that much patience that she would let go of this thing and see it go forth, not knowing what would happen. Just wait a minute. You mean it took that many people? You mean there had to be this thing called patience? How many people in this room, by show of hands, because I want to see, are absolutely filled to the brim with patience? Put your hands up. You put yours down, because I'm not the reason that you're filled with patience. There's an old poem that says, "Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, but never in a man." Just wait a minute. Now, I often speak on it, and many times I try to explain it, but it'll never come to pass unless you just wait a minute. That's what the day is all about, isn't it? Patience. It's about having the power to step back for a minute and say, "Hold it." And everything around us, everywhere around us, there are examples of it everywhere. We just heard that the curtains in the basement have been took down. And everybody's like, "Oh, okay, but see, you don't know the backstory. Chris has been trying to get them curtains down short of taking a chain through the door with a truck and yanking them off the rails. And he's tried many different ways and finally got them off." You know what patience is. Worry brings on anxiety. Anxiety brings on stress. Stress brings on worry. Worry brings on anxiety. Anxiety brings on stress. Stress brings on worry. Worry brings on anxiety. Uh-oh, we're in a circle, aren't we? Maybe we just need to wait a minute and step back. All of that can come from being impatient. I got to have it now. I got to have it right now. I can't wait for it. I got to have it now. I want it. I got to have it. If it's not going my way, if things are not answered the way they're supposed to be, I don't understand. I'm going to lose my mind. And all because the timer on the oven hasn't gone off on that cake yet that I want to eat. That's the worst kind of impatience. And yet we're taught, just wait a minute. In 480 B.C., the outmanned army of King Sparta held off the Persian troops of Xerxes by fighting them one at a time through a narrow mountain pass, one at a time. For in essence and understanding, they came through the door of the pass, and the army fought them one at a time. Commenting on the strategy, the great Charlie Spurgeon said, "Now suppose Sparta King Leonidas and his handful of men had gone out into the wide open and attacked the Persians. They would have all died at once. Even though they would have fought like lions, even though they would have been strong, they would have died, all of them, quickly." Spurgeon continued by saying that Christians stand in the narrow pass today. If they choose to battle every difficulty at once, they are going to suffer defeat. But if they trust God and take their troubles to Him one by one, they will find that their strength is sufficient. If they would just wait a minute. When I was putting this sermon together this morning, my sons, who, as you know, are not here today because they are at a reenacting event way far away, I am trying to shave this morning. And as we all know, I shaved with a 1948 single blade Gillette razor that I think is determined to slice my throat every time it comes near me. I always come away with blood, but it gives me such a close shave. And that's because it takes your whole head off, Paul. While I'm in the middle of that, my phone rings. Now, I could have been patient and not answered it, but my son was right there. And so I clicked it over with shaving cream all over, and I'm trying to shave so I don't die. And my son goes, "Hey, Dad, what's the scripture for today?" He had to know right then. He knows full good and well at that time of the morning I'm getting ready. But he wanted to know. And I kept trying to mouth through the shaving cream. And my dad goes, and my son goes, "You're going to sing?" Boop. Now he can really wait a minute. The scripture today is reminding us, do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of all those who do wrong. And we're all guilty of that. We look at that fellow down the street or whomever that's got the great big house and the cars all around it, and they got the swimming pool out there in the backyard, and we look at that and we ask ourselves, why us? I go to church, I do what's right, I live the right way. That fellow down the street don't do anything the right way. It's not our job. Why don't I have this? I put in all the work. Why aren't I getting the accolades at work? I did everything I'm supposed to do. Why is this not coming to me? David writes, "For they will fall like grass and soon wither." My favorite part of that is when we get into verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. In verse 7, I looked in my Bible. Maybe it's written in your Bible. I don't know, but I did look at verse 7, and in mine right before it is written the word, "Hey, Paul. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." I'm only kidding. I know it's not in there. It's just for, don't smite me. He will put you forward in His time. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Just a minute. Just wait a minute. Your time will come. Your time will come. Too often we want everything when we want it now. And we think that that's the only way that we can live, is if we have it at that moment. And yet, when we take that moment, when we just wait a minute, and we rest and we relax in the Lord. According to a Greek legend, an ancient Athens man noticed the great storyteller Aesop playing games with children, especially with a group of little boys. He laughed and jeered at Aesop and asked him why he wasted such time in frivolous activity. Aesop responded by picking up a bow, loosening its string, and placing it on the ground. Then he said to the critical Athenian, "Now answer this riddle if you can. Tell us what the unstrung bow implies." The man looked at it for several minutes, then looked at Aesop and said, I don't know. Aesop explained, "If you keep that bow always bent, it will break eventually. But if you let it go slack, it will be fit for you the next time you need to use it." The writer goes on to say, from Our Daily Bread, people are also like that. That's why we need to take time to rest. That's why we need to have patience. In today's scripture, in today's world, Jesus prescribed time off for His weary disciples. He prescribed that they rest and wait. In the Old Testament, God set a pattern for us when he rested from all his work. And shouldn't we take his example seriously? The writer goes on. Start by setting aside some time to relax periodically. Set yourself in relax mode if you can. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. You'll be at your best when the Lord finally does call for you to do the work he has laid out for you. In essence, he is telling you to just wait a minute. In James chapter 5, verse 7, we read these words. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. Just wait a minute. Yeah. I want everything to happen right now. When I have settled into it, when I'm ready to get after it, I want everything to happen right now. Because I don't have time to wait. I want to get moving. I want things to be done. When I have done something, I want the results right that minute. I think the work I'm doing sometimes, though, because it's not happening fast enough, will see nothing. And I feel that if I don't get decent results out of it, well, then I have done nothing. And yet the purposes of God is to develop slowly. New England preacher Philip Brooks, noted for his poise and quiet manner, at times, however, he suffered moments of frustration and irritability. And one day a friend saw him pacing the floor and asked him, "What's wrong, Philip?" And he answered curtly, "The trouble is, I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." Has anybody else in here felt the same way? Say amen. Some of the greatest missionaries of history have devotedly spread the seed of God's word and yet had to wait long periods to see anything happen from it. William Carey labored for seven years before the first Hindu convert was brought to Christ in Burma. Judson toiled 7 years in his faithful preaching before he was rewarded. In Western Africa, it took 14 years before one convert was converted into the Christian church. In New Zealand, 9 years, and in Tahiti, it was 16 years before the first soul was saved. Just wait a minute. I'll tell you a story about patience. Yesterday, because of what will happen later, I had forgotten to make a phone call to a member of the church to stop by to pick up, because she can't be here, to pick up some paperwork for her decision later today. And I called her yesterday morning, irritated with myself because I had forgotten, and now I had all this stuff to do, and I was going to have to make a stop by Hazel Strait's place to visit with her. Not that I didn't want to visit with Hazel. I just had a lot of things I wanted to do. I needed to visit with Hazel, but I needed to move. So I went to Hazel's house in my big diesel truck, my big diesel dual truck that makes more noise than anything allowed should be on the planet. At least that's what most people think except me. And she lives in that retirement community. And as I drove through the community to turn that thing around, it was making so much noise that people came to their doors to look out. What is going on? And when I got to where Hazel lived, I noticed that there was an Amazon package on her front porch. And I was like, Hazel doesn't get Amazon. What? Am I? Did I get the wrong place? So I called Greg. I said, "Greg, what's Hazel's house number again?" He said, "Number 3. He said it like that. And I said, "All right." And I walked up and there was number 3. Hazel had an Amazon box on her front porch. It was this big. And Hazel came to the door. And she was all happy. And I opened the door and I thought, this can't be right. I said, "Hazel, is that yours?" And she goes, "Yes. The Amazon man just delivered it 10 minutes ago. That's my new microwave. Mine quit working." Oh, goodness. I said, now this is how stupid I am. I said, would you like me to carry it in for you? And Hazel gave me that look that I have seen from my wife many times. How does he remember to breathe? Yes, Paul. So I carried it in. And she said her microwave had quit working. The door wouldn't open when you pushed the button. And so I said, well, who's going to put this thing up on the counter? Who's going to set it all up for you? And she goes, I don't know. I was worried about that. I was going to have to call someone. I said, here I am. And I took her old microwave down and I set the new microwave up and we got it all working and I put the old microwave in the box and I said, now, does somebody come and collect this stuff around here or somebody can haul that thing away? And she goes, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. And I said, are you ready? Just wait a minute. Here I am. And I visited with her for the better part of 45 minutes. And three times she lamented that she didn't know what she was going to do. And three times she said, God blesses those who wait. Oh my goodness gracious. Why do you do these things to me? And I carried it out. And she got a new microwave. And all was good. And when I left that day and I was driving home, I was thinking, just wait a minute. God is always in control. The psalmist said, he will give it to you in your time. He will put it forth in your time. Just wait on him. Don't you worry about this person here or that person there. Wait on him and what he has in store for you. And trust me, yeah, it will be worth the wait. So when you see the world starting to spin away, brothers and sisters, just wait a minute. And if you're really bored, you can go play Monopoly. That'll take care of a whole lot of minutes. Just wait a minute, and the Lord will bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for this message and for the example therein, Father. We thank you that you have blessed us so greatly. And that you remind us and teach us, Father, that we need to just wait a minute. Father, there are many things that we need. There are many things that we think we should have happening right now. And yet, it's your time, your will, your plan. And when we stop, when we wait a minute, oh, the blessings that will come from it. We thank you, Father, that you sent forth your Son to give us that ability to just wait a minute. Watch over and keep us, Father, and all of those that hear this message, now and forevermore. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.